two places in the scripture tonight. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18 and the book of Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3 and 1 Kings chapter 18 is the order in which we'll read them. And we're going to look at these two verses, two passages from these two books of the Old Testament, sort of put them together in order to frame a thought tonight. And I realize this is the youth meeting tonight, but what I'm going to do there is I'm going to preach a message that goes hand in hand with a thought that I had last Wednesday night here, and I want to bring the young folks, because of that, up to speed on what we've been doing here on Wednesday nights, as they've been meeting down there at the new building there. Up here on Wednesday nights, I've been preaching about life improvement issues, and that's something that everyone seems to be quite interested in, as they should be there, but a lot of folks there, it would fall more under the heading of self-improvement. A lot of folks want to improve their life without the Lord there, with a motive that is no more pure than what Eve had whenever she took part of that forbidden tree there, because it was a tree to be desired to make one wise, and had no regard as to what the Lord said, no regard as to what the Lord wanted. She wanted what she wanted. She wanted what she desired, and she went against what God said there because she thought that would better her. She thought that would improve her. And there's a lot of folks, they approach this very issue the same way. They think that it'll improve them, it'll better them, they'll have a better life, and so they don't think about what God wants. People want to improve themselves, and in large, they're not interested in what the Lord said is needed in order to have a better life. Some folks think that a better life equates with more money, and that's despite what God has said. God never said you need more money to have a better life. But some folks say, well, if I had more money, if I had nicer things, or if I had a higher position, or if I had more popularity with people, or more recognition and respect from others, then I'd have a better life. But really, living a life for self, living a life for yourself, that's a rut, even if you are trying to improve yourself. And there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. That's what the Word of God says. And what we've covered here on Wednesday nights as to what will improve our life, the subjects we've looked at, is first of all, wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. And young people, you need wisdom. The Bible says that the wisdom begins with the fear of God, and the Scripture talks about different places you can find wisdom in, and we covered seven areas there where we can receive wisdom from God. Then we dealt with the idea of the importance of being determined, having that determination there, having that resolve, having a made-up mind there. We use the greatest example towards determination, the one that the Bible says set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. And, of course, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The next subject was, of course, making ourselves available to God. It's the most important ability that you have. No ability means anything if it's not available to God. And you're to present yourself a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Then we covered the idea of consistency, the importance of being consistent. Even dealt another week there with what is the problem with inconsistency. The Bible talks about degeneration that begins to happen in generations because of people being inconsistent. And then after that, we talked about humility. Spent a couple of weeks on humility. Last Wednesday night, I preached on being decisive. And how it was that the Lord told the children of Israel that he had set before them blessing and cursing. He had put before them a choice. He gave them a choice, and he said it was of life and death. And then the Lord pleaded with him, and he said, choose life. He said, I've given you a choice. It's your choice to make. And then the Lord says, choose life. And we covered how that in the beginning, God had set that very same choice before Adam and Eve there. There was before them a tree of life. And there was also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told them that the day that they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he told them that that day they should surely die. So it was a matter of life and death. It was a matter of blessing and cursing there. They had two options, and involved in those two options were God's blessing and God's curse. And when Eve chose wrong, and she had the ability to choose, it was her choice to make there, and she chose wrong, the Bible gives us insight as to why. Why did she choose wrong? The Bible again says of that tree, it was a tree to be desired. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. And that's the problem with a lot of our decisions, is it's backed by a lot of wrong desires. And so what has to happen is we've got to make up our minds. See, this is the first decision you have to make, that you're gonna set your mind right. You're going to set your heart right towards the things of God in order to cultivate the right desires. There are certain steps that have to be made in order to cultivate the right desires. You young folks tonight, listen, we talk about cultivating the right desires. We're talking about, you know, you making up your mind that you're going to read your Bible. You're going to read your Bible. You're going to have a daily plan in which you read the Scripture. You need to have a daily walk with God where you're praying with Him, because there's communication involved in that. Then you need to be not only a member in a local church, you need to be active in a local church. That is, you need to be there. You need to be there when the services are going on. You need to be with God's people. There's a special way that God communicates with His people. You can't get it by listening to a tape. You can't get it by listening to a CD. You can't get it by watching it on a video. You need to be there. There may be some information you can gather, but the Spirit of God, that we're talking about an unseen being that is interested in yours and my life, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, He visits His people. And He comes down in the midst, especially when we're singing His praise, and then the preaching of the Word that magnifies Christ's name, the Spirit of God will get involved in that. And He'll begin to deal with people, and He'll do some things. There'll be some things going on there that really you can't see that are happening. And so you make up your mind you're going to do those things. You don't just go to church when you feel like it. If you'll go to church and you'll commit, hey, I'm going to go to church, you know what will happen in time? You'll start feeling like it. If you'll read the Bible, even when you don't feel like it, but you'll determine in your heart, I'm going to read the Scripture because God told me to. See, that's a Bible principle. You're living by principle. You're not going by how you feel, but by principle, because God tells us to spend time in the Word. When you give yourself to the reading of the Word of God, then eventually you'll want to. You'll have that desire. And the same thing works with praying and everything that goes out of a local New Testament church there. And the fact is there that that the Lord said this. He shows us that when our hearts turn from God, the rest follows. And that's the problem. The desires aren't right. We're not going about to cultivate the right desires. And eventually, there's no desire. And it's all gone. And we see people that were raised in church no longer have any desire to go to church. People that were taught, from these little ones up here that are taught to sing these songs, in their classes, they're taught other things other than these songs. And one of the principles they're taught is they need the Word of God. And you can be raised from an infant up to be trained that this is a principle of life. You need the Word of God in you. The entrance of God's words gives light. And you can be trained to know that as a fact. And yet, there'll come a time in your life when you have no desire for the Word of God. Or you have no desire for the house of God. No desire for prayer. And so what happens is your heart departs from God. And when that happens, the rest follows. Now God told Israel that their heart had turned from Him. And He said this, therefore they would not hear Him, because their heart turned from Him. And you can say, well, you know, Brother Dilbert, listen, you don't hear with your heart. And that's true. But the fact is that the heart does affect the ear. And that's the way it works. Some insight to you young folks here. You young men, you young ladies, you need to understand, it's when your parents lose your heart that they lose your ear. There's a reason why, and I hope this hasn't happened to any young person in here tonight, but there's a reason why a young person gets to a stage in life when they don't care what mom says. And they don't care what dad says. Long before the parent loses the ear of the child, the parent loses the heart of the child. There was a time, listen, when every one of us, when we were little, our desire was to please our mother and father. It was to honor them and to impress them and be a pleasure to them. And there comes a time as you get older to where you don't care if you please mom and dad anymore. There's a point there naturally that will take place in degeneration, because we are sinners by nature, to where really mom and dad becomes an end to a means, or a means to an end rather, where they are being used to get what you want. And it's no longer you trying to please them. It's you using mom and dad to please you. And God said this. He says to you, because you're a child, God says to you, honor your father and your mother. And he says, children, obey your parents in all things. This is right. God will bless that. And the fact is that this happens with the Lord there. When a person's heart turns from God, they lose interest in hearing from God. God said they turned their heart from me, therefore they won't hear me. When the heart turns from God, people lose their desire to hear from God. They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to study the Bible. They don't want to hear somebody preach at them. They don't want that because their hearts have turned from God. They stop listening when they stop caring. And that's what happens to a lot of people. And so the Lord, what he does is he says, I've set before you two choices here. You got two ways to go. There's a way of life and blessing, and there's a way of death and cursing. And he says, I've set before you a choice of life and death. And the choice is yours, but then the Lord pleads with him, and he says, choose life. Choose life. The Lord will not make the decision for you, but he'll try to influence you to make the right decision. And thank God that he will. And listen, Joshua, he told those that he was charging, he says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. In other words, listen, young folks, this is what he was saying. If you don't want to do this, if this is something you just don't want to do, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Then Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the message last Wednesday was on being decisive. Tonight we're going to go to the other side. We're going to talk about being indecisive. Indecisive. And what are the results? Look at Joel chapter 3 first, and just one verse. Get verse 14. Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. And here's what he says. Multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And what Joel's talking about there is a prophecy. And it's where the Lord has gathered the heathen in the valley of Jehoshaphat for judgment because of their wickedness being so great. And once they're there, God says of those that are in that valley, he says, multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision. And the reason why he says that, it's not because that they're there to make a decision necessarily, but really they're there because of the decisions they've already made. That's the problem. They're facing judgment as a result of some past decisions. They had choices, and their choices led them into this valley there, and this valley is going to be to their destruction. That's the prophecy we have in the book of Revelation. The Lord is going to come down, and this is literally, this valley here, this is a dead end. This is the end of the road for them because of the choices they've made there. There's no escape. God is going to show up. The Lord's going to show up there. You know, you hear people talk about, you know, something being a dead end. You hear folks talk about maybe a dead-end marriage or a dead-end job, and their life being a dead end. What that simply means there is they're trying to describe a situation where they're not going anywhere. They're just stuck. And they took a wrong turn, and the road of life that they chose to go down has led them to this place right here there, and it's a dead end. It's not going anywhere. Now, here in this passage, these people end up in a valley, and it's a dead end. They're not going anywhere. They're there in the valley of decision there, and they're there because of a decision that they made. Now get 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, and look at verse 17. 1 Kings 18, 17. The reason I have you turn here is verse 21, but let me just go ahead and read verse 17. It says, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And the reason he asked that question is because it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. There's a famine in the land. And there's a lot of suffering taking place. And the reason why this suffering is taking place is because the Lord has sent judgment down on them. And the Lord has sent judgment down on them because of the things that he said back in the book of Deuteronomy, where the Lord said, I've set before you two ways, life and death, blessing and cursing. And the Lord says, choose life. You know what happened? They chose wrong. And they end up in this situation here where they're just kind of going through the motions, and yet they're not really standing for right or standing against wrong, and they're following their leaders. Their leaders are leading them wrong, and there's been no rain for 3.5 years because that's what the Lord told them would happen. Famine has been sent on the land. Their animals are dying. People are suffering. People are starving. This is what's taking place, and they're blaming Elijah because Elijah's the one that told them it was going to happen. Now, Elijah told him it was going to happen because he believed what God said back in the book of Deuteronomy. And so he tells them, this is what's going to take place because you've forsaken the Lord. And so sure enough there, it hasn't rained, and Ahab wants to blame Elijah. He wants to say, you're the one troubling everybody. But Elijah tells him, it ain't me. You're the one. You're the one that led them into this mess. He says in verse 18, he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now what we've did here is we've looked at two passages that involve choices. In the one there, there's the valley of decision. That's the dead end road there of the choices they've already made. And then here in 1 Kings chapter 18, this is the mount called Carmel. And at the mount called Carmel there, the people of Israel are being asked to make a choice, to get off the fence there. In other words, in 1 Kings 18, the problem here is indecision. They don't want to make a choice. And the people are trying to lull around and not make that clear-cut choice that needs to be made. And Elijah basically puts them on the spot. He forces them into the situation by asking them, how long halt ye between two opinions? Make up your mind. That's what he's saying. He says, if the Lord, if Jehovah is God, follow him. Serve him. But if not, don't. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, don't. Amen. It's your choice. No one's going to put a gun to your head. No one's going to sit on your chest and make you cry uncle. Amen. I had a big brother. Hey, I know what it's like to have a big brother, you know, dangle his spit above my face and then suck it back in before it gets on you. And then slip up and let it get on you. That's a terrible thing to have somebody force you to do something you don't want to do. I understand that. And the Lord's not going to do that to you young folks. He's not going to do that. No one's going to twist your arm. We will tell you that that's the right choice. We'll tell you on behalf of the Lord that that's the choice that God will bless. But it's your choice to make. And when you make that choice, it needs to be sincere. It needs to be done in sincerity and in truth. That's what Joshua said. If it seems evil to you, okay, all right. Don't go off and say, my mom and dad and their church and that preacher and they're singing and all that and just start dogging it. Hey, there's no need to put on the act. If it seems evil unto you, don't put on the act. You can lose your mind pretending to be something that you're not. We got too many folks in the Bible Belt that are just under pressure to act religious and talk religious when their heart is far from God. And listen, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, if God's not God, if the Lord's not God, then don't serve him. But if he is, then serve him. That's what he's saying. How long halt ye between two opinions? And it says that they answered him not a word. They took the fifth. They were indecisive when confronted with what we would call an obvious choice. Now, Joel chapter 3, there's a passage there of the consequences of wrong decisions and bad choices. 1 Kings 18, you have the plight of the people who are stuck in indecision. They're halt between two opinions, and Elijah draws a line in the sand and he says, make up your mind, get on one side or the other. And in the passage there where you've got a multitude who are brought to a valley, in the other passage there you've got a multitude who are taken to a mount. Both of them are dealing with a choice. We have choices to make. All of us, we have choices to make. And life is a valley sometimes, sometimes on the mount. But we need to make those choices, and we need to make those choices before we put them off long enough and they end up getting made for us. We need to make the choices. In Genesis chapter 24, and I've mentioned this to you before here in a service like this on a Wednesday night when we were having a youth service, talking about the picture of Genesis 24. And what's given there is a picture not only just of Abraham and his servant, and his son Isaac and Rebekah, and how they came together to be married, but what we're given there is insight to the activities of the Holy Spirit's ministry today. And what's going on is you've got a representation given there of God the Father with Abraham. And you got a representation of Jesus Christ the Son in Isaac. And a representation of the ministry and the person of the Spirit of God in that servant. And then there's Rebekah, the bride, picturing the church, of which every saved man, woman, boy, and girl is a part of by the Holy Spirit. And Abraham sends the servant out to get a bride for the son. And as he goes out there, he begins to pray, and the Lord blesses his way, prospers his way, opens the door for him, so to speak, there. And then as the servant goes to the home of Rebekah, Laban there is asked whether or not she's going to go with the servant of Abraham or not there and join up with Isaac in marriage. And the servant says in Genesis 24:56, he says, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We'll call the damsel and we'll inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Now that right there is a picture that's given of the Spirit of God to show us the beginning of our journey, which ends with us seeing Jesus Christ face to face. Rebekah takes off to marry a man she's never seen. I have never seen Jesus Christ. You have never seen Jesus Christ. Oh, but Brother Dilbert, I got a picture of him right over here in my Bible. That ain't him. You don't have a picture of him. Oh, we got one on the wall over there. That's not him. We got the only picture we got, the only description we got is over in the Song of Solomon dealing with his humanity, and the Book of Revelation dealing with him in a glorified state. And you don't see any pictures that look like either one of them. He's not a red-haired Irishman that has green eyes, that's for sure. He's the King of the Jews, all right? And here's the fact. We haven't seen him. But yet there came a time in my life when I was a teenager that I was asked basically, "Wilt thou go with this man?" The Spirit of God through the call of the gospel. "Wilt thou go with this man?" And though I had never seen him, I said, "I will go." And you know what? That was 30 years ago, better than 30 years ago. And if the Lord tarries his coming, I don't even like to talk like this, but if he did for 50 more years, if he did, that choice that I made way back then will carry me that long. Because I passed from death into life when that happened. I was given everlasting life. And that thing's going to culminate with me seeing Jesus Christ face to face. What a choice. What a choice. Some of you made the same choice. Many of you have already made that choice. You said, "I will go. I will go with this man." And then as we go along in life there, the Bible tells us that we have a choice to make as to whether or not we're going to fellowship with him. There's commandments given in Galatians chapter 5. Young people, listen. Commandments given where he says to you and I, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Why does he say that to Christians? Because if you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, even though you're saved, even though I'm saved, and I've been saved for years now, that one decision I made that God, because of what he done for me, is going to see me all the way to heaven one day with Jesus Christ, that does not make my daily decision as far as whether or not I'm going to walk with God and have the right fruit in my life. So he says to me, for good reason, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our flesh is wicked, yours too, and corrupt and defiled. And if you walk after it, you'll end up in a mess. And the Spirit of God, which came into you the moment you believed on Jesus Christ, as he come into your spirit, there was a new man created in true righteousness, the Bible says. And if you'll put on that new man and you'll make that decision, You'll have the fruit of the Spirit of God in your life. You'll have the characteristics coming from your life of the Savior Himself, Jesus Christ. It's your choice to make. You'll walk in the Spirit and you'll have the life of Christ shining to others, or you'll walk after the flesh and you'll fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's the choice you have to make. You can choose. You can choose. Now, here's what I was telling them Wednesday night. You have the freedom to choose. You have that power. But you don't have the power to change the destiny of your choice. God gave you the choice, but you can't decide the outcome. That's already rearranged. That's already done. God's already determined how that thing's going to turn out. For example, a man says, I don't want to be saved. I don't want to be a Christian. I'm not going to believe on Jesus Christ. I'm good enough. Now, if he wants to choose his own righteousness over the righteousness of God, which is in Jesus Christ, he can. He says, I got my beliefs. I got my religion. If he wants to choose his religion over the righteousness of Jesus Christ, he can. If he says, all right, I don't believe any of that stuff, he don't have to. He has the freedom to choose. He can do that. But here's the thing. He does not get to go to heaven. God gave him the choice, but he doesn't decide the outcome of the choice. He has the freedom to choose, but the outcome's already determined. If he rejects Jesus Christ, the Bible says he's condemned already because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And you get to choose, young people. You get to choose. God gave you the choice. No one can make you choose Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's an act of the will. That's what the Bible says. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. If you will be saved, he will save you. But if you won't, he won't. It's your choice to make. But you don't get to decide, okay, I don't want Jesus Christ. I don't want to trust him. I don't want God's righteousness. I want to trust my religion. I want to trust my righteousness. I'm good enough to get to heaven. You want to trust that stuff, then you don't get to go to heaven. It's your choice, but you don't get to determine whether or not it's going to get you to heaven or not. God's already ordained who the Savior is, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, for those that are saved, again, you can choose to ignore the Bible. I'm going to try to put pressure on you so that you don't. Really, I mean, that's how we harp on it here. Most every preacher gets in this pulpit is going to harp on reading the Bible, spending time with the Word of God. We're going to try to beat you to death with it. Amen, amen. And the reason we're going to try to is because, listen, I know the flesh. That flesh doesn't want to read the Bible. And what we're trying to do is there's some folks out there that you read the Bible and you've gotten to where you're starting to see some things and you kind of get some momentum going. There's some good momentum behind having a good conscience. Nothing like being active in church and being faithful to pray and being faithful to read your Bible and get that momentum, and then you're just excited about doing those things. That's good. That'll go. You just go in that meat for a while. But then you just allow the flesh a little bit of rope there. It'll hang itself every time. And after a while there, you know what? I mean, it's like the Bible. They say the heaviest book in all the world is an unread Bible. The longer it sits, the heavier it gets. You know, there's a lot of folks that aren't in Trinity Baptist Church because they had to miss church one time. And then the next week, it got a little easier. The next week, it got a little easier. And the next week, it got a little easier. And then after a while, they hadn't been there in so long. Now they're almost ashamed to show up. They don't realize everybody else is unfaithful too. Come on, man. This is Trinity Baptist. We all got closets here. Amen. And that's what happens. The longer you leave off of serving God, the harder it gets to do it. And to do right. And that's what happens. That's what happens. Listen, you have the choice. Understand, you don't get to determine the outcome of those choices. If you ignore God's word, the light of his word, if you do, there's consequences. You ignore prayer, there's consequences to that. You start missing the house of God and laying out of the church there to the delight of the natural man, there are consequences. If you sow to the flesh, the Bible says you shall reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. You know, you got a lot of folks there that they want God's blessing on them as his blessings towards those who give, but they don't want to give. You don't have to give. The Lord's not a hostage man. He's not going to put a gun to you and say, give. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need my money. He's invited me to give. I want to give as an act of worship to him. And of course, I can give there, and it serves my heart to give. It prevents a wickedness and a selfishness in me to give to the Lord. It's good for me to give to the Lord. But at the same time, the Lord didn't make me do it. And if I didn't do it, if I chose not to, I wouldn't have any right to expect the blessings God gives to those who do give. I have a choice, but I don't get to determine the outcome of my choices. That's already determined. The Lord said, I've put before you life and death and blessing and cursing. You have the choice. But then the Lord, to encourage you, he says, choose life. You want to go this way. You don't have to, but you want to. Those are the good choices. Now, what we also said is that good choices are paid for in advance. Bad choices are paid for afterwards. In other words, if there's a young lady here and you've got a test tomorrow, you know you better study tonight. An athlete wants to do something this week there that deals with some sort of championship or competition there, then they got to train today. That's the way it goes. Good choices are paid for in advance. Person wants to have a good marriage, he needs to sow towards having a good marriage today. Wants to have good relationships with his children, he needs to sow towards that today. You've got to pay for those things in advance. That's what happens there. But afterwards, when we make bad decisions there, then we pay for that later, like a charge card. A charge card there. We get a charge and we get to enjoy it and indulge, and then we get the bill. And that's the way it works. Afterward, it's time to reap. And it's not as good as it once was. I mean, the pleasures of sin are only for a season. And after a while, we realize it was the wrong decision. It was the wrong decision. Now, I'm afraid there are several who are just halt between two opinions. They have an inclination to serve Christ. They have an inclination to do so, but they have not made a decision against the world. They've not made a decision against the flesh. And to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, young folks, this is the hard one. You have to. You can't go both ways at the same time. You can't walk in the flesh and walk in the Spirit at the same time. The two are contrary, the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. That's what the Holy Spirit says. And if you want to follow the Lord, you got to choose against the world. You got to choose against the flesh. That's what has to happen. But there's a lot of folks, they have the desire to serve the Lord, but they will not make that choice. And so they just get halt there, halt, until they've procrastinated and put it off and find themselves one day in that valley of decision we read about there in Joel chapter 3. Because if you stay halt between two opinions long enough, like I said earlier, decisions get made for you. You put it off, you put it off, you put it off, until finally you can't do anything about it. James chapter 1, remember what happens there in James chapter 1. He says this, that if you need wisdom, you can ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, if you need wisdom from God, he said, you can ask of me, I'll give it to you, and I won't even chew you out for not having it. I won't upbraid you. I'll give it to you. That's what the Lord says. But then he says, but let him ask in faith. Here's the condition. Don't insult the Lord by asking in unbelief. Let him ask in faith, he says. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Being double-minded is like being halt between two opinions. You're on the fence, and you want the blessings of God. You want to choose that way of life, but you got to choose against the world. You got to choose against the flesh, and you're stuck. You don't know what to do. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. To be unstable, it's just like with being without restraint, without boundaries. You think about that. Unstable means to be unsettled, means to be disorderly and unruly. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, what happens to people like this is that things happen to them. In other words, unstable, like he described Reuben in the Bible, unstable as water. You take rock, you throw it in the water reacts to the rock that's thrown into it. And that's the way some people, unstable people, live their life. They just react. They just react. That's why, young folks, listen, I'm talking a lot about church attendance, and I know you say, I'm going to be in church, preacher. My mom and dad make me come. That's what I'm worried about. I don't want you here because your mom and dad made you come, although mom and dad's right to make you come. I want you to choose to be here. I want you to make that choice. And you see, somebody makes that choice, they're not just going by circumstances. In other words, I'll go out and I'll ask a man, I say, "Won't you come to church Wednesday?" And he says, "Well, preacher, I don't know if I can do that or not. We'll see how it goes." You know what he's saying? He's saying, just like a rock thrown into the water, whatever happens, I might be there, I might not. But somebody who's made up their mind, I'm going to go to church because that's the night they're meeting. You make up your mind. You resolve in your heart. That's part, listen, we talk a lot about loving the brethren, loving the brethren. Loving the brethren ain't just, "Aw, I like them so much." That's not what it is. Loving the brethren, the Bible defines what it is. You can't love the brethren if you're ignoring them. If you don't want to fellowship with them. And here's my problem. See, I've worked for about 6 years there in a Christian school, and here's what I've seen. I've seen a lot of kids that were put in Christian school and made to go to church and all the right things there that never made a choice for themselves. And one day they graduated school, and then they graduated God. They had to learn the Scripture and memorize the Scripture for all their pace work. And I know some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. But they had to memorize the Scripture for their pace work. There came a time, though, where they were through with it. They don't have any desire for the Word of God now. They don't have any desire for church. They don't have any desire for God's people. They've made their choice. Some of them, they say, "Well, one of these days, and it'll just be one excuse after another." See, life's a vapor. It's a little time. Yeah. If you manage your time, you're managing your life. Wednesday night's church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. You make your choices. Okay, at certain time of the day, that's Bible reading time. Yep. Certain time of the day, I'm going to pray. I'm going to take that prayer list there, and I'm going to pray for other people. And you need to develop that. You need to develop the ability to praise God. Amen. Sure. To thank Him. To pray for other people. To confess your sins. Individually, what you've done wrong, to become sensitive about those things in your life that grieve the Holy Spirit, that needs to happen in your life. You need to make that choice, because what happens is a lot of people, they just are made to go to church until they get old enough to make their own choice, and then they're no longer around. And it's a sad thing when circumstances are what determines what people are going to do. People say, "Well, I'm not going to make any promises." That usually means they're not going to be there. Because if it's a matter of whatever comes up is going to keep me out of church, then things are going to come up. Yeah. And if something comes up to keep you from reading the Bible, things are going to come up. And if something comes up to keep you off your knees, trust me, things are going to come up. Right. You got to determine in your heart that life's not going to affect you. You're going to affect life. You got to make some choices. You got to choose. I'm going to choose to serve the Lord. I'm speaking for me. I choose to serve Him. Doesn't mean I'm sinless. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I don't blow it. That's my choice, though. My die is cast. My colors are with Him. And I say this to the young ladies in closing. One of these days you're going to be looking for a husband. Indecisive boys don't make for good husbands. And indecisive young ladies don't make for good wives. You need somebody who got their mind made up. They've made their choice. And those people there are stable. See, a person that's unstable, the Bible says, a double-minded man, he's halt between two opinions. He's unstable in all his ways. It'll affect how he acts as a husband. It'll affect how he acts as a father. It'll affect how he acts on the job as an employee or an employer. It'll affect him in every aspect of his life. Instability. He's like water. Hit a bump, he goes sloshing out. Somebody throws something in there, he waves for a while. He reacts. That's all he can do. He's not got his course set. You got to make your own choices. Amen. You need to make your own choices. Make your choice now. Don't be halt between two opinions. There's a lot of young people. They're going to try to keep you on that fence. They're Christians, and they're not interested in serving the Lord. They're going to serve the flesh right now. They don't want you to cast your die and say, "I'm going to serve Jesus Christ." You got to make your choice. You're going to serve the Lord. You make that choice. You make that stand. You let it be known where you stand. And when you do, God will bless you. You make up your mind to serve Him, God will give you what you need to see it through. All right? All right. Let's stand for prayer. Every head bowed. Maybe somebody tonight needs to make that choice tonight. As I said, young folks, listen to me. There's people out there who wants to keep you on the fence. They want to keep you from serving God. They don't even know why. But they know that if you make that choice, then they're going to look bad or they're going to feel bad because they've not made that choice. Whatever the reason, there's people out there to keep you from making that choice. And you don't need to let them affect you. You need to make that choice and affect them. Elijah said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord is God, if He is, serve Him." And there's the question, young man, young lady, there's the question. Is the Lord God? Is He God? If He is, serve Him. But if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose. But it's your choice to make. But know this, you don't affect the outcome. You have the right to make the choice, but you can't change the outcome of the choice you've made. So the Lord says, choose life. Choose blessing. Father, I pray that you'll bless now, and you'll help us, Lord God, to be very sober as we examine ourselves. Lord, these young folks, I pray for them. God, thank you for them and their testimonies and how you've saved them. They've made the right choice in that regard, but help them now, Lord, to realize the importance of daily decisions in regards to putting on the new man. A lot of these things, Lord, may be over their heads. Some things may just went right by them. But I trust the Spirit of God to bring to remembrance these things as they're able to handle them. And Lord God, I pray that you'll cause that this seed be protected from all the unclean influences, Lord, that would like to steal the seed from them. And bless the word, God, as it's been preached to them. May their heart not turn to where they have no ear to hear from you. God, you have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Miss Robin, if you'll play, please. Every invitation, there are choices that have to be made. Every invitation. Oh, we can't play it down. We can't play it down. You know, there's nothing special about this altar. There's nothing special about that aisle and walking it. But there's something very special about a person surrendering to the pressure of the Spirit of God. God speaking to them and them saying, "All right, Lord, you win. Your way's best." These are Christians here tonight. Is there any others that need to come and pray? Maybe make a few choices tonight that you've been on the fence about. Make some decisions that need to be made before the Lord tonight. Kids, you know that tonight's pizza night, and I I trust it's been delivered. I saw some folks jumping up and going to the door back there to make sure they got their money. And it's always good to pay for your pizza if you've ordered it. But so that's there. I'm not going to hang around. Joanna, my youngest, is very sick. If y'all would remember her in prayer, she has not only strep but mono and tonsillitis, and she's lifeless. I mean, it's just really tough. You don't see a 9-year-old discouraged all the time, and it's been a rough one to see her just lifeless and discouraged. And it's been a week today. She's got a fever again at 102, and we got a doctor appointment coming up. But we're going to get home and see her, but I would that you would, folks, pray for her. I appreciate that, all right? All right, let's ask the Lord's blessing on the pizza, and I appreciate you being here tonight. Thank you for coming, and I appreciate all you young folks that sang tonight. That was a blessing. Brother Tim, would you pray for us?